43. Julian was right. 3 days later, Susan Crittenden, Pulitzer-winning journalist at the New York Times, called Julian. "Someone contacted her directly," he said. "A source she won't name, but she says it's someone intimately familiar with the compound. She profiled Watkins once, 2 decades ago. Now she's reading George's book, and she wants to talk to us. Me, George, and the hospital surgeons. Her source told her that we're doing scientific research into death." George said, "But that isn't..." "Not our main focus, no," Julian said. "But universes created by the primacy of the observer is too intellectual. Death is visceral. Greater public appeal." Caro said, "I won't talk to her." "Fucking right you won't. Nobody will, except me. All information goes through me. And I'm going to find out who inside the compound is Susan Crittenden's source." His handsome face looked as contorted as it had after Ben Clarby's disappearance and subsequent murder. Trevor said slowly, "If she finds out about the dark website, she's an experienced and respected journalist. She may very well have sources in the FBI." "Yes," Julian said. "I wanted to release our story in ways we can control, when we were ready. Not like this." The Times article appeared a week later. Julian and Bill Haggerty had warned off Susan Crittenden, saying that writing anything about alternate mayhem would interfere with an ongoing FBI investigation. The journalist apparently got around that by first leaking to a TV station, which let the Times jump in with her much fuller print version because the story was already public. "Scientific facility in Caymans implants computer chips in human brains. Deceased Nobel laureate funded bizarre experiment," by Susan Crittenden. On the tropical island of Cayman Brac, a popular tourist destination in the Caribbean, stands a facility founded by late Nobel laureate Samuel Lewis Watkins and staffed by an eclectic collection of software experts, doctors, and physicists. The facility serves people willing to have their skulls cut open and their brains implanted with pre-programmed, permanent computer chips. Wires lead from the chips to a connector terminal on the top of each subject's head. When not in use, the terminal is covered by a tiny titanium box. When in use, the wires directly connect the subject's brain to a bank of computers. Why would anyone create this experiment in sci-fi cyborgs? And why would anyone agree to become an experimental subject? The answer begins not with Watkins, the famed creator of the molecules that led to the development of Akeno, the most popular antiviral drug in the world. Before Watkins, there was his close friend from their university days at Oxford. George J. Weigert, 76, a distinguished physicist who has published many studies in peer-reviewed journals, created a theory called the primacy of the observer, which is also the title of his recent book from a prestigious academic press. The book has raised many eyebrows throughout the scientific community. The heart of Weigert's biocentric theory is that instead of matter and evolution giving rise to consciousness, the truth is the other way around. Consciousness gave rise to both matter and time. Nothing, not the Earth, the galaxy, your kitchen, or even your brain, existed before human consciousness created it. Weigert's book, well-written and full of references to accepted science, explains this in great, if esoteric, detail. The story does not stop there. Eventually, Watkins and Weigert joined forces with Julian Day, 38, once a rising star in the tech world of Silicon Valley. The three built a secret compound on Cayman Brac and launched their project. According to a person who has been implanted with one of their chips, they succeeded in creating software that lets an implantee be connected to programming that activates alternate universe algorithms in the brain. The subject then can visit not just visualize, but actually visit alternate universes in which things have turned out differently than in the universe the rest of us inhabit. There, you can be well again if you're sick here, the implantee said. You can meet people who have died here. You can visit a world that looks like this one, but is kinder or more beautiful. And it is real. There is no doubt that the speaker believes all this. So, presumably, do the roughly 24 other people thus far implanted with computer chips. Very advanced image reconstruction software even records what is going on in the brain while the subject is away from this world. You can revisit not only the other universe, the implantee said, but can view your recording again and again. The brain chips are allegedly implanted by licensed surgeons. So far, the Times has not learned their names. None of the experimental subjects have, according to this reporter's source, paid any fee for the surgery, computer chip, or digital equipment use. All necessary permits for a scientific research facility are on file with the Cayman Brac government, and the facility pays the necessary taxes. The Cayman Islands, long known as a haven of very loose regulations on finance, medical research, and visa requirements for those with enough money to buy their way in, has raised no objection to, or perhaps has no knowledge of, the activities inside the walled compound. But others clearly do. Blood and murder in an alternate universe. Currently, the FBI is conducting an investigation into a dark web site that also promises trips into alternate universes. The site has gone by various names and is not easy to find unless you already have access code words. The Times was able to learn only that it offers to implant subjects for a hefty fee with computer chips similar, or possibly identical, to those used on Cayman Brac. Speculation is that software was stolen from the original facility by someone familiar with it. The dark web site lets its implantees, armed with weapons created by their consciousness, to enter another universe and kill, maim, or torture without consequence to the implantee after he returns here, conduct a school shooting, run a concentration camp, torture an enemy. If the Cayman Brac facility says it is expanding the world through hallucinations cherished by the hopeful, the dark website is exploiting those whose hopes represent the worst that humanity is capable of. But is any of it real? Or does it all, knowingly or not, traffic in high-tech snake oil? Reactions to Weigert's book have varied widely. Eminent Yale professor Thomas Donovan, himself a Nobel laureate for his work on gravity waves, said this yesterday to the Times. Reporters and TV crews began to arrive at the compound. Julian said, "Nobody talks to any media. In fact, nobody leaves the compound or talks to anyone at all. Camilla, instruct your nurses and orderlies. James, send home everyone that doesn't live in Wing 1 and everyone who does live here but won't or can't stay inside for a few days. Tell them they aren't to talk to anyone about anything they've seen or heard here. Not anyone, even family members. Threaten them if you have to."
Caro said, "Julian, you can't threaten people. You'll only make the situation worse."
He glared at her. "Worse? And just how would that look, Caro? We're doing something good here, something revolutionary and groundbreaking that can bring hope and insight to the entire fucking world. And now the story is going to be some sensationalized, woo-woo, spiritual, out-of-body astral projection combined with gore and blood. Our work was supposed to be established first with the scientific community, and then, as they were won over by sheer, irrefutable logic, they would help bring it to the popular press in a respectful and prestigious way. That was Sam's vision, not this."
Trevor said quietly, "We can weather this."
Could they?
Caro wondered. And what would happen if they couldn't? Trevor added,
Julian, you need another lawyer besides Bill Haggerty, one that specializes in defamation. And you need to hire a PR firm.
I already have, Julian said.
One with experience in cleaning up corporate messes on all platforms, including online. Their people will be in and out of the compound, but I don't want anyone but me talking to them either.
Caro was fine with that. She wondered, however, how different her life would now be if she'd had the money to hire an online PR person to fight the social media attacks against her after she'd filed her sexual harassment charge against Paul Becker. Another branch of a different universe. Caro said to Trevor, her naked leg flung over his on her bed,
Why do you think the project can weather all this negative publicity?
Because truth will out, eventually.
She raised herself on one elbow to see his face. Do you really believe that?
Yes, but only if people fight for it. I don't think there's any chance that Julian won't fight, and he has the resources. Money, connections, solid research, and sheer animal cunning to fight like hell.
That she didn't doubt. She said instead,
Trev, who do you think leaked the story to those two reporters?
I don't know. But I know who's the most upset about it, and it isn't even Julian. It's George.
I talked to him today for a long time, Caro said. He's heartbroken.
Weigert did not understand. This was not what he had envisioned. His theory, his precious discovery, and Julian's application of it was a force for good. It described the world as it actually was, of course, but it also had the power to remake the world. It restored humanity to the center of reality because it was life, us, that created reality. It removed barriers between a human being and nature. Surely that must lead to care of the environment. Because the environment was you. One doesn't war on oneself. He'd imagined a world where, as people began to see the truth of a consciousness-centered universe, they would come to understand that other people, too, were intimately connected to them. They would then become kinder to each other. All men would truly become brothers. Because they were all sharers in the consciousness that shaped the world. And death. Death, too, would no longer trouble the human mind, wrapping it in a shroud of fear. Weigert had talked to Rose. Ellen Kemp had held her dead baby. Consciousness, not being material, could not die. It was even possible that Sam, if his body died during a session, Julian still denied this, had found himself in a state that was the superposition of all possible worlds, all possible experiences, and that his consciousness had collapsed into the single determined experience of his session. There was no way to be sure, of course, since there was no way to have communication between branches, but it was possible. And then this journalist, this Susan Crittenden, she had read his book. She said so in her Times article, willfully misrepresented it all. Why couldn't she see all the good that a consciousness-centered explanation of the world could bring? He did not understand how an obviously intelligent woman could be so blind, could write this.
Rose, what should I do?
Nothing, my darling. Just wait and see what happens. Not enough, this Rose in his mind. He wanted to talk to the real Rose, hold her in his arms, smell her vanilla and Rose's hair. Weigert wasn't scheduled for a session, but he would get a tech to hook him up and supervise. He would bully a young tech into doing it if necessary. After all, he was the author of The Primacy of the Observer. His book was remaking the framework of contemporary physics. And he wanted to see his wife.